Hello, Hivians. Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com.
That's right, Lisa. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at...
Sorry! I said child.
That's right, Lisa. Get a free audiobook download.
Stop it! No, no. Shut up! Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Today's
That's right, Lisa. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. That's H-I-V-E.
That's right, Christine. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, baby. Or M3. Over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Iceland Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, when you hear the term walk of death, what comes to mind? Walk of death. Anybody?
Rogue One.
No, it's not Bob Iger walking to the podium.
I was going to say 7 a.m. Sunday morning.
Coral.
It's Vader's epic hallway scene has been officially named The Walk of Death by Gareth Edwards. And we're going to talk about it tonight here on the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, March 17th, 2017, episode 32. And we are happy to be here tonight on this glorious Friday. Hopefully it'll be a glorious Friday. We actually
happy
record.
Happy St. Patty's Day, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. That's right. I should have produced some St. Patrick's Day bumper music. I failed. I have failed you for the last time.
If you download a Jameson's commercial, I think it'll be the same thing, and we'll get away with it.
You know, there's a host on the Wretched Hive that's a fan of Jameson's.
Oh. I have heard that.
Yeah.
I've read that in some of the fan magazines.
Some say he's even part Irish. It's amazing.
My grandmother was Dutch. Well, as you can hear, I am not the only one that is here to host this show. With me, joining me tonight, as always, my Wookiee co-pilot, Greg Lind.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I got to commend you, though, on that intro, and I can only imagine the hours you guys must have spent recording that 30-second intro. So you have the patience of Job, sir. Congratulations for living through producing that. It was stellar.
There's nothing like intoxicated wretched wives to do the audible.com intro.
Somehow I'm going to get blamed for that one.
That was a lot of fun.
Came out great.
Thank you. Thank you. Also joining us, lifelong Star Wars fan, Scotty Vansky.
Hey, how's it going, Steve? Since it's St. Patrick's Day, I want to raise a glass to all of our fans, all of our friends. And say slunch. Oh my.
Wow.
Wow. Man, that was dirty. Should I beep that out? My God, that was dirty. You want to try that again? Take two.
Hell no, man. The drinking has gone far beyond tonight, so we are good.
You're coming in a little quiet, Scott. Just if step closer to the phone. I don't know what you can do.
I can't get any closer without getting biblical.
That's actually better. Also on the show tonight, Captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nika Rodriguez.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to know that there are also other whiskey fans and aficionados and St. Patty's Day fans on the show.
Nika's joining me at the fortified compound deep, deep, deep in Orange County. We're doing a little post-birthday celebration here at the house, and I'm glad you could join me in person. So happy birthday, bud.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, yeah, happy birthday, Nico. And is this the first time that two of the hosts have been in the same room together while we record the show?
Allegedly.
I think so.
Allegedly.
We've done a couple of mini episodes.
Yes.
I think that Dave and I were together, but this might be the first flagship episode show, if you will, to have an episode with the two of you together, two of us together.
Saga episode, even?
Wow.
Possibly. Possibly. Now, let's say it's really started with a bang, too. Just a bang-up job getting this thing going tonight.
Yeah, we're
very rare form tonight. So
48 minutes later. And finally, we have Dave! Under no circumstances.
Well, maybe a couple.
Should you ever
accept?
Ever!
You're absolutely right, never!
Call him Harry Potter.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I think this is the first time our episode is dropped on a holiday, and I can think of no better holiday than one when you all are hopefully even more intoxicated than we are recording this thing.
We're getting started early considering we record on Wednesdays. Tomorrow's going to be rough at work, I'm telling you.
I'm at a seminar tomorrow, so
I'm
going to sit in the back and close my eyes and hope I don't have to answer any questions.
You don't have to. You're listening. You don't have to talk at this thing.
I do not have to talk at this thing.
Oh,
no.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, if you can get through work without talking tomorrow, let us know about it. Find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can also leave us a voicemail and tell us about your work day. That's 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. Leave a message, and very likely your message will get played on the air on a future episode of The Wretched Hive.
It's almost a certainty.
Tell us about your day. How are you?
$9.99 a minute.
We care and we listen. Talking about listening, listen to this. We've got a lot of news to cover tonight, guys.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Busy, busy news. Couple of weeks in the Star Wars universe. Lots going on. Lots of Star Wars Episode 8 news to get to. Lots of Rogue One news to get to. We have an update on the original trilogy Blu-ray to get to. But
I think it's an inkling that the new Star.
Thank you for that. But
that was me.
But
we have bumpers we can't wait to get to.
We have bumpers we can't wait to get to. But first, we have to hear from our old pal, Bob Iger. And guys, we have some Bob Iger intro music to play here. So I've done some producing this week, guys. I'm earning my keep. So here's our brand new Bob Iger intro. Check it out.
The chairman and chief executive officer of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger.
There you go. That's our Bob Iger bumper music.
Wow. Yeah. It's like a slower, phantasmic fanfare.
That was actually the cold open, if you will, for the Disney shareholders meeting that took place recently on March 8th. And, of course, Bob Iger was the featured speaker. Talked a lot about the projects they have in the works. Talked about the success of Rogue One and Episode 8 to come. The part that interested me most was his update on Star Wars Land that's being built in Anaheim and Orlando. So here's Mr. Iger for an update on that.
Progress is also continuing on two Star Wars themed lands, one at Disneyland in California and the other at Disney World in Florida. And we're creating a jaw-dropping experience here to transport you into the world of Star Wars and that great storytelling. In fact, right in the middle of an epic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. And if you've ever wanted to pilot the Millennium Falcon, you'll finally get a chance to do so when these incredible lands open up in 2019.
Why the hell do they keep marching this guy out to speak to people when he sounds the least interested about anything that's going on with anybody, anywhere, at any fucking time?
I don't know. He's not the most enthusiastic speaker.
Guys, there's Star Wars land that's coming up in Florida and Anaheim.
It's gonna be huge. We have all the best. We have all the best stars. We have all the best wars. It'll be the people will love it. It'll be great. Just fantastic.
Well, his delivery might not be the best, but having Star Wars land in our backyard is going to be freaking awesome. I'm sorry. I'm geeked about this.
I long for the days of Harrison Ford promoting products. I long for those.
Who cares?
The chairman and chief executive officer of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger.
There you go.
All right.
Mr. Thanks, Iger. Bob. He's back. And there are pictures circulating around the web of Star Wars Land being built. And actually, yours truly was at Disneyland a couple of weeks ago and went up to the fifth floor of the parking structure there that's right behind Star Wars Land. And you get some pretty good photos. There's pretty clearly some AT-ATs being built. You can see the sort of the skeleton, the framework of the AT-ATs. Other than that, it's a bunch of dirt and tractors and some buildings that are coming up slowly, but pretty cool. Star Wars Land coming in 2019.
I've heard, but I haven't confirmed, and this is not Star Wars Land related, but I just, it's a question for Steve, since you've been there recently.
Yep.
Did they move the security check-in point from the end of Downtown Disney to the beginning of Downtown Disney?
They moved it from the end of Downtown Disney, which is very close to the plaza area that separates the downtown. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, we have breaking news here. Scott Ivanski has joined me in my home.
Hey, I was going to say something with a lot of profanity, but I'm just going to go with it right now.
All right. Well, we're going to do some rearranging so that Scott can be closer to the mic. You're perfect right there, I think.
All right.
Is Mike a euphemism for anything, Steve, or what?
Say something, Scott, from where you're sitting.
I'm doing great. I just decided, with all the technical difficulties,
to come on
over and get this done right.
I just need to speak up, that's all.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're together. That was really weird. That was like a surreal moment.
I can't tell you the frustration I was having over there, but let's just roll with it and go.
Let's roll with it. Hold on. I'm going to hand the hosting duties over to Scott for a second.
Oh, dear God. Are we recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
Oh, my God. This is going to be crazy. Hey, Wretched Hive.
What up?
Oh, my God. This is trippy sounding.
Over here? No, it actually sounds normal. Is that what's so trippy about it? Thought you heard.
Now I wish I had gone over to the lengths to record this tonight.
the Wretched Hive hosts are in actually three different places tonight. There's five of us. How about that?
That's pretty awesome.
Hey, Dave, how's it feel to be alone tonight?
it's no different from a lot of other nights, Nico.
All right. Well, okay, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wretched.
Just kidding. Okay, so wait, we've been recording this whole time? Ah, son of a... All right, so we've had enough of Bob Iger. Are we ready to move on to
another show? Can we talk more about Bob Iger, please? I'm really... I can't get enough of that voice. The so smooth and sultry sounds.
Well, not only is Bob Iger kicking off Star Wars Land in 2019, also happening in Orlando. I don't know if this is happening in Anaheim, but Star Wars Galactic Knights are coming to Disney's Hollywood studios. This is being reported by the DisneyBlog.com. And these are essentially special events that you purchase a you know, you get into the park, and then if you want to stay for the special Star Wars event, you purchase another ticket, and you get to stick around for the Star Wars event starting April 14th, so next month. There's going to be Rebel Base activities. The Rebel Base will serve as the event hub with multiple events, hosted shows, Star Wars dance parties. Can't miss Star Wars photo ops, Galactic Knights in Cars Motorcade. Imperial March and March of the First Order. Star Wars A Galaxy Far, Far Away. Away, watch high-energy clips of the best moments of the film saga juxtaposed with character moments on stage. Star Wars The Galactic Spectacular. And show your Star Wars spirit, come dressed as your favorite character. There's a nice picture there of some decorations in the park. Now, here's the kicker, though. The event runs 7 p.m. to midnight, costs $129.
Whoa.
For adults.
Is that regular park admission and the event ticket, or is that only the event ticket?
That looks to me like it's 7 p.m. to midnight for $129. That's what according to the DisneyBlog.com. So that's not including a regular park ticket. Unless you get to go on all the other rides, and but you're only there for 5 hours, I guess. What do you think? Are you guys buying that?
No, I'm not buying that. I'm not going. I'm not dealing with that.
Your Republic credits are no good here.
Republic credits! Interesting. All right.
I'm going to call up Bob and see if we can get some special discounts.
You think Mr. Iger can get us in for free?
Damn right.
We give him enough publicity on this show, you'd think he can get us in.
We just need to bring him along on the show and then to the park gates, and he'll just bore the hell out of the gate attendee. Just like, just go in. Just go in. I know you're a boss, but just go.
Do you think Iger has to show, like, the employee pass, you know, when you go in? You think they have to, he's got to scan that in?
I don't know, but if I was one of the people working at the gate, I would totally be like, who the hell are you? Oh, you're Bob Iger? Okay. Yeah, I'm Steven Spielberg.
Does he have one of those, like, cast badges that says Bob?
With the Mickey head.
It's got to.
Come on, that's awesome.
Oh, awesome. You know what? We're going to do a little blast of the past here, guys. We've got some Rogue One news to cover.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace, of justice, and the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
Resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
So, really cool story on Fandango.com. Dave, this is the link that you sent us earlier this week about the epic moment with Darth Vader in the hallway at the end of Rogue One. Great little story about the sort of how that scene came to be. And originally, they did not have Vader on the ship. He never boards the Rebel ship originally in the script. And they in reviewing the movie and thinking about how the movie was wrapping up. Let's see. It says according to again Fandango.com, quote: He arrives and obliterates the Calamari ship. And then the blockade runner gets out just in time and he pursues the blockade runner. And then Jabez was like, I think we need to get Darth Vader on that ship. And I thought, this is, of course, director Gareth Edwards speaking. And I thought, yeah, it's a brilliant idea. We'd love to do it, but there's no way they're going to let us do it. It was only 4 months away. So Kathleen Kennedy came in and they thought, you know, let's pitch her the idea. And she loved it. And within a week or two, they were back at Pinewood shooting that scene. So that scene was filmed about 4 months before the release of the movie. It was an add-in at the very end. And Edwards, who now calls the scene the Walk of Death, says he asked the stunt guys to go away and come up with anything they could think of. And I'm going to quote him again. They came with a whole shopping list of ideas. 70% we used and maybe 30% felt a little extreme. There were things you hadn't seen him do before, but I wanted to stick to what Darth does in the original trilogy. So I just thought that was really cool. And, you know, that's just a last-minute addition that really worked in this film.
It's a fantastic addition and just a great example of how the creative collaborative process should work on a studio picture, where you think you have it done and some guy has an idea and they think it's great, so they invest the money in making it happen. And absolutely stellar, stellar bit of directing work to just say to the stunt people, why don't you guys go off and come up with something?
Yeah,
and that's what made it great.
Yeah, I really like the, you know, he says that the stunt people just came up with all the ideas for it. He just picked the best out of that bunch. I mean, that just the planning session for that was like, oh, how about we have Vader do this? How about we have Vader do that? And that just must have been such a fun session to be in on. And really does add to the movie. Yeah, I mean, it's by far the best part of the movie. So.
Yeah, it really is the jewel on the crown of that movie. Just that last bit. Just imagine the movie without the Vader scene. You know, it's just Vader kind of, you know, he was pretty badass in the scene with Krennic. I love that scene with Krennic, actually. But that really sets Vader up to be the scary character that he is in Episode 4, I think.
That it's the boogeyman Vader. It's like, yeah. This is the Darth Vader that is the boogeyman that we use to scare children with now in this galaxy.
Yep. And Dave, you sent another link this week. This one from slashfilm.com about why the original Rogue One ending didn't work. We talked a lot during the summer. There were a lot of concerns with fans voicing their worries about all the reshoots that were happening. There were rumors that 40% of the film got reshot late in the summer. And Gareth Edwards basically confirmed that in this article on, again, slashfilm.com exclusive, why the original Rogue One ending didn't work, according to director Gareth Edwards. Dave, I'm wondering if you want to weigh in on this. I feel like I'm talking a lot, but this article talks about how the tower where the radar dish was broadcasting the plans to the Death Star at the very end was separate from the rest of the base, and that led to our heroes running across the beach, and they just thought it was too long. So they made a pretty substantial change in changing the beacon tower to be part of the base.
Listening to him talk about what, you know, just kind of the broad stroke outline of what it was supposed to be, which was, like you already said, you know, them running across the beach to get to the tower, which is in another physical location from where they stole the plans. I agree with that. I think that would have been too long. It would have been too much. It would have felt like the special edition ending of the original Star Wars. It's just too much stuff going on. So I think it was a very good call to recut and re-edit it so that you don't have that. But my guess is it probably led them to cutting out some things that they did like, just because you can't kind of chop off, here's what this appendage of the story is, and it's completely self-contained. They probably had to throw some other things over the side that we'll maybe hear about in other interviews as time goes on. But I really, really doubt we will ever see some kind of special edition, alternate ending, or anything like that. It sounds like it was a pretty significant re-envisionment, and unless somebody wants to throw, you know, $5 million and several months of editing time at them, we're not going to ever see an alternate ending.
Yeah, I like what you said, Dave. I think the biggest thing for me is that he actually, you know, answered the question like a lot of us had on our minds, was what really happened to that ending? And I like the fact that he just came out and said, you know, this was what was going on and we just felt it was too long. I like that idea that, you know, here's an honest answer. We really needed to clean up and move things along at the ending there. I still would love to see a lot of that footage, but I just think that was really kind of cool. He could have, you know, messed around with some BS answer or something, and or not said anything and left us wondering for years and years to come. But he just put it out on the table, and I thought it was a good answer. So,
well, it's clearly the difference between Edwards directing a movie and Lucas directing a movie, because Lucas would have just said, no, it's fine. We're going to keep it in. Never mind what the editor says. We're keeping it in.
Yeah.
Fortuna.
Right. Can you imagine George Lucas telling the stunt guys, hey, guys, go figure this out and give me some ideas? I mean, that's, you know, for the death walk sequence. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
No.
You know, you can see the attraction, though, to constantly editing this movie, because he makes mention of the fact that if, you know, given the space to do so, he would continue to edit it up until the point they released it. And he was continuing to edit up until the point that they released it. So, you know, the fact that the movie was constantly in flux or just being re-edited and rejiggered around it, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, he's just trying to come up with the best story possible. So even though they put out a trailer 6 months ahead of time, that wasn't the best story possible, but, you know, once they had the end result up there. So there you go.
It's really go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, and this all kind of loops into another story that I shared, but I don't know if it made it into the show notes. So if it did, I'll shut up and wait for that to come up. But if it didn't, I'll throw it out right now.
Remind me what story that was.
It was the Rogue One opening crawl.
Yeah, that's actually next. So I was gonna segue to that. So also left on the cutting room floor, sort of, was the opening crawl for Rogue One. Yes, one was written, and if I can get to my notes here. Let's see. It turns out that the original plan actually included a crawl. This according to CBR.com. According to a recent Reddit AMA with director Gareth Edwards, not only was a crawl planned, it was actually written by Rogue One scribe Gary Whitta. It doesn't sound as though it was ever animated, as Edwards told a reporter, you'll have to pester Whitta for it. So, yeah, that, you know, that is a huge, huge departure in the Star Wars film universe, not having a crawl. We debated about it quite a bit on the show, actually, as did other fans, whether or not we would see a crawl. And I mean, I still will maintain that I would have liked to see a crawl for this. I to me, that just sort of helps define Star Wars. And I loved this movie. I thought it was great. But if I am being picky and had my fan voice recognized by the filmmakers at the time, this movie would have had a crawl.
The decision was made, it sounds like, early on in production, like before real production in during the pre-production phase, that they were going to leave the crawl out. That's what it sounds like. They had made that decision before filming it even started. So while they did write one in the initial drafts, that was never something that had been, once they actually started production of the film, it was never anything that had planned to be in. That's what it sounds like to me anyway.
No, I agree with that, but that's something I would love to see or at least read. Honestly, even more than some of the quote-unquote alternate ending footage that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And I actually tend to disagree with you, Steve. I think it's a lot better without the crawl. I absolutely respect that they were trying to make it something that felt different from the mainline trilogy movie. But damn, I'm curious what those couple paragraphs were going to be.
I will say I was always one that was a team crawl. I think the crawl kind of belonged in there. But I was a fan of the James Bond style cold open with a scene that really, you know, it's a prologue to the rest of the film, but it really doesn't have anything to it doesn't have anything directly leading into what happens in the film. It's all stuff that happened years and years before. So I like that cold open style. I thought that was a good choice to go that way.
Yeah, I like the cold open style too, although I will have to admit I miss the John Williams main theme with the Star Wars logo dissolving off into the background and the crawl coming up. It was awkward. I remember thinking, looking at the screen, that, to me, that's a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I jump back and forth on it. I don't remember, so I don't care if the fans call me a hypocrite or whatever. But here's the deal. I kind of miss it. I like the crawl. I like the idea of it. Greg, I like your thought on it. I know we've discussed it multiple times, but it was kind of jarring for me. It just was that moment where I'm like, I really could have used the fanfare and and seeing those words crawl across the screen.
Well, the fanfare is something that will never come back, guys. That will never come back.
No.
That was Fox.
I'm sorry. The John Williams theme that actually, once the fanfare is over, it goes right into the theme.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we'll see the holiday special again before we see the fanfare come back.
Speaking of the holiday special, did anybody read that full AMA? Because there is a choice quote that's in there from Gareth Edwards. So did anybody get a chance to read the whole thing? Just a quick yes or no?
I did not, no.
Okay, so question is asked. An AMA is a Reddit online chat, basically, and a question is asked by one of the participants. Could you tell us a bit about what George Lucas said to you after seeing Rogue One, and did you meet him at all before filming? And Gareth's answer here is just classic. He came to visit Pinewood before we started filming, kind of to take the pressure off us. I had posters in my room of previous Star Wars spinoffs, The Caravan of Courage, the Star Wars Holiday Special, and my main goal when he came in was to try and stop him from seeing these.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
I love that he's got Caravan of Courage and the Holiday Special posters up in his office. That's badass. That's awesome.
Yeah, just go out, just search for Gareth Edwards in Reddit AMA and read the whole thing. Look for the spots where he just responds to questions, and there's not that many to read through, and there's some good stuff that's in there.
So we got another interesting story on theforce.net. This one is they are claiming, well, not they, theforce.net is not claiming, but they have posted tweets from LA Times reporter Daniel Miller, who was in the room for the Disney shareholders meeting on March 8th. Apparently some clips from episode 8 were shown to the crowd there. And Daniel Miller tweets, quote, "We just saw more Star Wars The Last Jedi footage. In it, Luke asks Rey, 'Who are you?' Then we see her deftly handle a lightsaber." In another quote, Daniel Miller says, "Also making appearances in The Last Jedi footage, Chewbacca, General Leia Organa, and Finn."
Hey, you got her name right this time.
I tried hard that time. Yeah. It was.
I think we re-recorded it, this whole thing, just so we could fix that.
I had to really focus.
Although you did, Nico did just refer to a Finn as a her, so.
I was talking about Princess Leia Organa.
Who used to date Plagueis is the rumor. One last thing on The Last Jedi footage. Daniel Miller tweets, "We saw all sorts of settings, mountains, oceans, forests, deserts. Looks suitably epic and exotic." So not a lot shared here other than Luke's first line potentially in episode 8 is asking Rey, "Who are you?" Now, I would think if she is his daughter, wouldn't he know who she is?
Not if he hasn't seen her for 20 years.
You mean
not
the same
legitimate.
You mean the same way Vader knew who Leia was when he saw her for the first time in episode 4?
That's a great point.
They're taking all my points.
What is this? I mean, what use is the Force to you if you can't come face to face with your daughter?
You can throw lightning and shit, man. That's the best part.
How does he not know? Come on.
Maybe there's like a weird feeling that he's getting that like she should be somebody that he knows, but the fact that his logical mind can't comprehend that feeling doesn't make sense to him. Like, he feels like this is somebody that I'm familiar with, their presence is something that I should recognize, but I don't know them. So obviously you would ask, like, who are you? Why do you know where I am? Why do I feel like I know you already? Have we met? Like, come on. He's got to have the sense of that, and that's why he's asking. If he knew, he would know, but obviously
he doesn't know. Still think the first line should be Rey saying, "You're Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you."
Well, things tend to repeat in the Star Wars universe, so that would actually work quite well, Dave.
That's no moon.
Luke's like, "What? What are you talking about?" I seem to recall a scene from the Clone Wars, which now we got to count these television shows as canon. I recall Yoda, or he might have said it in one of the films too, but Yoda says, "The dark side clouds everything." I wonder if that's true if you're a dark side user. So maybe things were cloudy for Vader and he just couldn't see through the clouds that were created by the dark side. It's just this muddled sort of picture of things as opposed to the light, which has a sort of a more sharper image.
Well, first of all, before Scott makes his point on this, I'm going to say that I think the quote you were going with was clouds all the dark side does.
There you go. All right.
All right, go ahead, Scott. You can jump in now.
No, you guys are doing great without me. I'm totally into it. You got all my points. I'm done. My checklist, I wrote it on my hand.
Oh, wait. No, yeah, you checked them all off. Okay. All right. Well,
check them off with over there, Scott.
I'll make one point. We don't know for a fact if that's the first line spoken. So if it is the first line, then yeah, it does say a lot about probably the relationship between Luke and Rey. But we don't know that. And, you know, other than what Dave said about what Rey should really say, she could have the first line. We don't know.
Now, do we think that they're start film right there and face to face, or do you think that they're going to pick up somewhere else? They've already like had their first couple words to each other.
Yeah, we're laughing because you just digitized. We just got 3PO'd.
3PO.
it keeps getting so oh, I think we've learned something on this episode. If you get it's being 3PO'd is not something you want.
No, it's right there with teabagging.
It's 3PO.
Goldenrod teabagging right there.
Somebody pull up the green bordered card from Tops that has the phallic 3PO.
The inappropriate 3PO image.
Every time we get 3PO, that's going to pop up on our screen.
Nico, I think what you were saying was something along the lines of, do we know that they hadn't had some conversation first before Luke says,
yeah,
who are you?
Between the end of 7 and the beginning of 8, like they don't always pick up this like the next minute right after, you know, the last film ended. So who's to say that, you know, Rey holds out this lightsaber to Luke, that episode 8's gonna start with Luke grabbing the lightsaber from her or talking to her. Like that scene might not be the beginning of 8. They could have already gone back to Luke's little tiny, you know, underground hut with his little porridge that he's brewing all Dagobah style. Like, you know, they don't always pick up right where the last one ended. So they could have already had a conversation before episode 8 begins.
All right. Well, let me jump in here for a second. Drink. Because I like Nico's point. But I want to go at it with a little different angle than you are, Nico, because they've shown us set footage of them shooting, you know, picking up where they left off on that, you know, that clifftop and Luke and Rey there interacting. They've shown shots of that from the episode 8 shoot. So what they might do instead is you've got the crawl there, episode 8 crawl as a hard break. Maybe they'll pick it up with something like, you know, Kylo Ren's ship arriving in the unknown regions with Supreme Leader Snoke or something like that, and then doubling back to that kind of iconic moment on the cliff with the lightsaber out and Luke saying, "Who are you?" So it might be his first line of dialogue since 1983, but not the first line of the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on that, Dave, because they've actually stated that they wanted to start the movie right where, and this is a quote somewhere, I need to dig it up, but they have said, some of the producers, might have been Kathleen Kennedy, that they want to pick up this film right where the last one left off. There's no 1 year in between. It takes off right where you see her handing off the lightsaber.
Which is a huge departure.
What to expect? They've literally been standing there for 3 years, for 2 years, is what we're there.
Nicely.
Just not moving, not peeing, anything, just standing there
now,
holding the lightsaber out. Hold it.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Go.
That's dedication to the craft. There.
That is. Now, the other thing I was going to add to that is they've actually shown the reshot version, at least from what I can tell, of that scene. That has been shown in some sort of like a some footage that has been released of that exact moment, but it's different enough from the episode 7 version. So it's different lighting. It's actually, it's not all gray and gloomy when you see it in the, at the end of episode 7. There's just little differences that they did. You can tell it, either that or it was a reshoot from episode 7 that they're just using as an alternate take or whatever.
I don't think so. I think they reset the whole scene. They reshot the whole scene. And that made news. They actually showed the same area on the island there. They had everything set up the same. They had Rey holding the lightsaber out.
Yeah.
So I think they reshot or set up the scene exactly the same way that it was set up at the end of 7 to start off 8.
Okay.
To me, it's a very natural. I mean, if I'm turning around, Luke turns around very slowly, and this stranger is holding out this lightsaber to him. It's a very natural thing to say. Who are you? You know, I think who are you is the first line of episode 8.
Okay, I got a lot of points on this because first of all, I had something before you started saying all that, Steve. So I'm going to jump in on what you just said. I would look at that and go, "That's my old lightsaber. Did it have something attached to it? I'd like to have that back." Second of all. The other thing is,
did you find anything else with that? Luke said offhandedly.
I had a ring that I really like. That ring.
Hey, if it was in space, it's frozen, right? He could reattach it.
There you go.
So the other thing is, if that's the case, if this film is going to pick up at that exact moment, this is going to cause a problem for me on a discussion we had earlier about the opening crawl. If there is nothing that has transpired over a year and it's just taking off, right? Hey, 5 minutes later, is that going to be the opening crawl?
Scott, that is a great point. I haven't heard anyone.
The opening crawl is literally, hey, remember that movie 2 years ago? This is right after that.
Well, that's where I was going with my point was if they don't want to start it off exact, you know, pick it up exactly where you left off. You have the opening crawl talk about maybe some things that are going on while Rey is flying off to find Luke, and we have a little scene of that going on, and then we jump back to, you know, Luke on the stranded Jedi temple looking at, you know, his lovely daughter that he's meeting for the first time.
Simultaneous events with his clone.
You mean his goddaughter, because she's a Kenobi, obviously. We've established that. But, you know,
it's
this
okay
is
to be wrong sometimes, guys. It's just remember that when what? 8 comes out. No. It's okay to be wrong sometimes.
From the hairstyle, she looks more like a Qui-Gon Jinn than anybody at this point.
Listen, really quick, before you get into that, I got to give Scott some props here. And Dave was going down this road, too. I got to give Scott some props. I listen to a few Star Wars podcasts, and I read a lot of this stuff prepping for the show. I haven't heard anyone or seen anyone talking about the problem that occurs now with the crawl for episode 8, because every crawl is like kind of to date kind of catches you up.
Trademark, yeah. Like, copyright, you heard it here first.
Like here's what's happened and what's going on to orient you to what you're about to see. Well, we don't need that if you've seen episode 7. There is no purpose for the crawl. Right. So yeah. That is really an interesting point.
Thanks, Steve. You know what? I'm going to jump in on something Dave mentioned, and I think it was Dave that said this about probably just adding that extra scene of maybe seeing. Okay, let me throw something else into this.
Oh boy,
the fact. Oh boy, here we go. Here comes the rant. No, seriously, that idea did cross my mind, and it came up right then. But the thing that I think Dave mentioned was, they could show something else kind of in transition, like something to do with Kylo Ren, some ships, some star, space background, whatever. It doesn't matter. The thing is another interesting fact about all these films is they always open in space with a ship of some sort landing or coming at you or going past you. Mm. So that most likely they're going to have to show something like that. But yeah, I don't know. That just kind of came up. And
interesting.
I mean, if it really does take place in that moment, all we're doing is backing up just to see some segue moment here in between.
I'm going to go ahead and say mind blown on this one right now. My mind has actually been blown. I'm not sure what to make of this.
Apparently.
Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and we need to recognize the sponsor for tonight's show. And our sponsor tonight is Audible.com. It's been a sponsor of the show, probably about 8 or 9 months. I don't want to say a year yet, but we're getting close to a year with Audible. And Audible.com provides a great service. If you've never tried it, you really should. Because right now, you, listener of the Wretched Hive podcast, can get a free audiobook download with a 30-day free trial to give you the opportunity to check out the Audible service. And there are over 150,000, I think, 180,000 books available.
That's right.
Online, including on Audible, including 250 Star Wars titles. Now, this book that we selected tonight is not officially a Star Wars title, although it is narrated by Mace Windu himself, Samuel Jackson. This book is one of my favorites. Go the Fuck to Sleep. Written by Adam Mansbach and Ricardo Cortez. I'm just going to let Mace himself do the talking here. Check this out.
All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap. Hell no, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go? The f*** to sleep.
You can own Go the F to Sleep today. All you need to do, it's really easy. Just go to audibletrial.com/hive. That's audibletrial.com/HIVE to download your free audiobook. And I hope you give Go the F to Sleep a chance, because this thing is worth it.
Beautiful.
Samuel Jackson is really magical, right? Magical? He's a magical human being.
He is.
He really is. No one says the F word like Samuel Jackson.
I don't think anybody says it as much as Samuel Jackson.
Scott does.
Yes.
Scott does when his computer does not work.
I was going to say, only on Wretched Hive recording nights.
That's right. All right. So, guys, let's move on here. A couple of other stories we need to cover. There's a great article on io9.gizmodo.com. io9.com. Thrawn's future on Star Wars Rebels. Sorry, Thrawn's office. His office on Star Wars Rebels is full of Easter eggs. Now, we haven't talked about Star Wars Rebels in a while. Are you guys keeping up with the show at all?
I'm a couple weeks behind.
Okay. Did you see
I haven't gotten to the big Obi-Wan sequence yet. I'm still behind that, but Obi-Wan's coming up.
I am not keeping up with the show at all in any form, in any imaginable way possible. Wow. Not happening. Again, it's not going on, and I apologize.
Well, I'm a millennial, so I'm keeping up with the Kardashians instead. But I did watch an episode with Gregory tonight where I noticed some lizards behind his desk, and I made an inquiry into a couple things that I knew were missing from the Thrawn kind of atmosphere that he pointed out were there, but not there. But yeah. I don't know anything about it.
Well, Thrawn's office is full of Easter eggs, as the title of this article would suggest. And this episode is called Through Imperial Eyes. Very cool episode. I also have not followed up with the show too much, although I watched the episode just to talk about the story here. But there's a couple of things that you need to check out in this clip. First, and maybe the most exciting one, according to io9.com, is Rebels art director Killian Plunkett confirmed that the chamber leading to Thrawn's office was modeled after the Holy Grail from the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Actually, the Holy Grail itself, you can see, is in the chamber. As we know, Thrawn thrives on collecting the artwork of his enemies, so he understands his foe at a different level than other generals might. And so the Holy Grail from the Last Crusade is actually in his office.
It's just a wooden cup.
It's a cup of a carpenter.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
Well, they have chosen wisely with that Easter egg.
So I've got to ask, the next one that you're going to show, Steve, is that Commander Gree? Is that his helmet?
Yeah, well, apparently Thrawn also has the clone helmet that looks a lot like Gree's, a clone trooper who was decapitated by Yoda on Kashyyyk at the end, or towards the end of Revenge of the Sith. Also very cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You also have a bust of Abundendo, which is a species popularized by the Force Awakens pilot. And then finally, the piece de resistance, in my opinion, is an actual Ralph McQuarrie painting that he, you know, that artwork from McQuarrie that was used by the Rebels crew to create the main planet of Lothal. The painting itself, completely untouched or changed, is hanging in Thrawn's office.
That's awesome.
Pretty neat. So you need to go check out that episode, Through Imperial Eyes, and check this out. Again, this to me, it's so wonderful to have Star Wars fans making Star Wars, because they get the significance of this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And I was one of the people that was really upset about losing Thrawn and a lot of the expanded universe. So to see some of that information coming in and being put in place in this Rebel series is pretty cool.
By the way, should also mention The Verge and many other outlets reporting that Star Wars Rebels has been renewed for a fourth season. And we're going to get more details coming in Star Wars Celebration. Which reminds me, guys, we got to prep a little bit. Star Wars Celebration is coming next month. We got two episodes from now or so until we're going to get just a deluge of Star Wars news, and we're going to have to figure out how to cover most of it.
Let's go weekly.
Weekly for two episodes? We could.
Are they doing live streams this year? Have we seen, because they live streamed a couple of the panels last year. Are they doing that again? I'm assuming they'll do it again this year. And who's going to be the host? Because remember, last year they had Warwick Davis hosting just about all the panels. Have they announced a host for any of it?
I am looking at that right now. Sorry, you've been C-3PO'd. Yeah. Sorry.
You dirty, dirty son of a bitch.
I'll look it up.
Let's see. Star Wars Celebration.
Nego just asked if they're going to have Carrie Fisher host this year.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Too soon, bro.
So we've got David Collins, Star Wars Oxygen host, musician, Star Wars actor David Collins. Warwick Davis is hosting another stage, yes. And Amy Ratcliffe, who's a reporter. Those three are hosting the various stages. You got the main stage, you got the digital stage, and then I think you've got the, what do they call it, like behind the scenes stage or fan stage or something like that.
Yeah.
They usually call that backstage, Steve.
Okay, could be backstage. Wow. Also spotlighting guests, Doug Chang from Lucasfilm, Dave Filoni, Episode 8 director Rian Johnson, and Kathleen Kennedy. So lots of dignitaries. Pablo Hidalgo, Steve Sansweet, of course, former Lucasfilm fan relations executive, and Gus Lopez.
John Ratzenberger there?
Ratzenberger is not on the front page of the guest link.
Damn.
He should be, because Ratzenberger is ubiquitous. He's everywhere. I unfortunately will not be there. I would love to be there, but not happening.
Are you sure?
No. I'm holding out hope. I always, you never know, I might call one of you guys on a Friday. Let's fly to Florida.
How about a quick trip to Florida, everybody?
Oh my God, that would be epic.
Oh, you're God.
How many concerts is Lisa going to this year?
Yeah, no. So you had to bring that up, didn't you?
I love you, Lisa.
My wife, I think she's got a concert a month between now and December.
Your wife has an enabler for concerts, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think your family is affected by that as well. And frankly, I am too. I'm going to some of them. But
and Lisa, Frank.
Lisa never met a concert she didn't like. Let's say that. And God bless her.
Like, gutted.
I know. Well, we got one last story, guys. One last story, and that is...
I got enough beer here to last for another hour.
You better chug that thing down.
Damn it.
Don't forget you're driving.
Yeah, that's why. Let's go another hour. Let's do this.
Breaking news. This will be... I don't want to... Everybody sitting down? Okay, just everybody calm down. Take a deep breath. Because, according to MovieWeb.com, the unaltered original Star Wars trilogy... that we were promised by the force.net last week is not coming to Blu-ray. And I think one of the Wretched Hive hosts was fairly adamant about the fact that it wasn't gonna come. So I guess Greg, I guess you're right on this one.
Oh, was that me? Did I say that?
You of the evil thriller laugh. Yes, that was you.
So, as fans, we've been
Man, we're taking it. We got the 3PO'd again.
3PO.
Get in the back, Goldenrod.
Are we ever going to see this? What's the big deal? I mean, no. I know there's like unlimited number of versions, right? Because they were editing the film and doing the sound mixing and all of that, even while it was in theaters for the first few weeks. Fine. But you can pick one and release it and put it on a high def video format. What's the big deal here, Lucasfilm? Dave, what is the big deal? Why won't they do this?
I think the big deal is that Lucas has altered most, if not all, of the quote unquote master negatives for the original trilogy to reflect that they're all special edition now. And that's not to say that you can't go back and recreate what was, because there's certainly at least reasonable digital copies around. And if you wanted to invest money, you know, there's not a problem in doing this that money cannot solve.
Yeah.
But I also don't think Disney has the pure rights to all of those movies to be able to do it.
Well, episode 4, you're right about that.
He does not alter it any further.
I'm sorry, Greg, can you say that again?
I just pray he does not alter it any further.
You and me both, Anakin.
I'm altering the deal.
But I think that's really a big impediment, because realistically, the differences, and I know I'm going to get in trouble with a lot of people, but the differences on the Empire Special Edition and the Return of the Jedi Special Edition, they're not as great as the differences for that original Star Wars A New Hope and the New Hope Special Edition. That's the crown jewel, and that's the one where the rights are the stickiest. And since the rights are the stickiest, I don't think anybody's real interested in throwing money into helping somebody else make money.
Okay, rights be damned. You've got an issue already with one fan, and that's me. So let's have it out right here. Here's the problem with that, Dave. I know for a fact that Lucas didn't actually get rid of all the copies. There are existing copies around the world, and I've actually seen one of those copies.
This is why I said all or at least most of.
Now, that's fine. The problem is they have enough resources that they could go in there. So again, rights be damned. We don't know what's all in that contract of the $4 billion they spent to get Lucasfilm and everything in their possession, along with Kathleen Kennedy. But this is where my argument goes a little bit farther. Yes, the first one is the Holy Grail. It's the one that everyone's, you know, wants the most. But don't ever say that about Return of the Jedi, man. We have serious problems with that movie anyway. The redos from 97, oh my fucking God, are you kidding me? Do I have to spell out the whole Jabba band sequence? That is god awful, man.
What's wrong with Jedi Rocks?
If I have to, I swear, if I have to see that Yuzum spit and spit on the screen, at, I swear to God, I'm going to lose it, man. I can't deal with it anymore.
Look, I am not, just to be clear, I am not saying that it made it a better movie. I'm not saying that I enjoyed it. I'm just saying, if you compare the differences between Return of the Jedi and Return of the Jedi Special Edition versus the differences between Star Wars and Star Wars Special Edition, it is still night and day. And yes, maybe it is just degree of suckiness, but it's a very significant, significant degree of suckiness difference.
Okay, now we can go into even further details. Let's talk about, is it the 97 Star Wars or is it the 2004 DVD/Blu-ray redos of the 97 versions? Because if that's what we're talking about, then you're talking about a difference between a big pile of green shit Jabba versus a semi-decent toy action figure looking Jabba CG construct. Or let's get into the whole Yub Nub end sequence of Return of the Jedi. Oh my god, let's get this new wave crap that's at the end of there with the big fireworks show and put Yub Nub back in there, okay? That's all I need. I need a bunch of Ewoks dancing around, as much as I hate them. That song is so much better than that new wave crap at the end. And if I have to see Jar Jar and Naboo screaming, Weesa free, oh my god. Seriously, let's just do a whole show on that.
Don't they have the technology now where... We can select, you know, we want to see the original Mos Eisley Cantina scene. We want to see, but we also want to see the new Stormtrooper searching for the droids on Tatooine.
Sure.
And then, you know, we want to see, I don't know, R2 without the rocks when Obi-Wan walks up. Don't they have the technology now where you can pick and choose? That's what I want. I want my version of episode 4. I want to pick the scenes that I want to see in there, and I want it to be different every time.
You want to choose your own adventure Star Wars movie.
Which that's right.
This isn't a fucking twist of plot, 34. Man. It's a movie.
They can do that on Star Tours.
Flip to page 172.
Why can't we do that? Why can't I want? I have Star Wars the way I want it. If Lucas can have it the way he wants it, he sold it. It's not his anymore. It's as much mine as it is his.
Yeah, let's do it.
Come on,
dude. I've got my old original cassette tapes. The little turn the page ones. We can get that stupid sound that dunk-a-dunk. Every time we need to add a scene, man. Yeah. We could go all out with this.
I want the original crate dragon noise. I want the original.
If we have this choose your own adventure style, can we just get rid of Return of the Jedi altogether?
There you go.
Just,
that ever happened. I want to see Sebastian Shaw in there, man. I mean, why not? I think we've got the technology to do this. And by the way, I may have overstated that I own Star Wars at the same level as George Lucas does. I apologize for that. But I'm just saying, I think we should,
God damn it, Steve Baldwin, what are you talking about?
Get Fortuna.
Get Baldwin in my office right now.
You own
Star
Wars?
Cancel his iTunes account.
You own Star Wars like 4 billion percent less than George Lucas.
That's very true.
Hey, wait, let's figure out.
That's a great point.
Let's figure out how many copies you paid for.
That's true. Do you think he owns more copies of Star Wars than I do?
Lucas?
Yeah.
I don't think he owns any copies.
There you go. See what I'm saying?
I think he gave them up.
Yeah, he might have a few cool pieces of memorabilia that I may not have.
He does have Jar Jar Binks and Carbonite.
That's true. That thing is awesome.
Which he said is actually one of his favorite pieces.
Yeah. I saw a picture of that somewhere recently. Is that's at Lucasfilm, right?
That's at the ranch.
At the ranch, yeah. Speaking of which, we gotta set up a Wretched Hive trip up to a Rancho Obi-Wan in the ranch. We just have to make that happen.
Well, I'm gonna say this now.
You know,
go ahead.
Can we make a special announcement now that we actually have a date for the Wretched Hive live out in public, all five of us together at the same time with the Wretched Wives?
Yeah, I say throw it out there. Special, and let me get some special announcement music while you get your notes together there for that.
I got off the top of my head. I'm all ready to go. Notes be damned.
I'll tell you what.
Hold on while I rifle through the notes.
Tell you what. Let's save that for the closing.
Okay.
I'll hand it off to you. You can invite our listeners to our first listener meetup, if they can get tickets.
good luck.
During the closing.
Not that we condone getting in for free or jumping the line.
That's right.
But if you want to come visit us.
That's right.
Let's throw that out there.
We'll cover that in the closing. We have one more. I lied. We have one more story. And this is actually.
Can I throw something out before this?
Oh, go, Scott.
Okay. All right. You brought up the ranch. I can't say a lot right now, but I might have a special announcement by the next show. Dealing with the ranch.
Really?
Yes. And I have to leave it vague and mysterious like that until I have further details. But I might.
Because it's probably not going to happen because Scott can never deliver.
Oh,
I don't think I've been teased this much.
I have a special announcement about the original trilogy coming out on Blu-ray, maybe next episode.
Yeah, for our April Fool's special edition show.
All right, now just to pry a little bit more here. Okay. Let me put you on the spot here.
Damn it!
Is this so? You mentioned it's about the ranch or has to do with the ranch.
Yes.
So is this a news story that we will read about the ranch, or is this some sort of insider info that you've gained through your many connections, because you are a very popular member of the Star Wars media now, being a host of the show?
Oh yes.
Have you used your connections to garner some insider information that you may be able to share?
I'm going to go with insider information.
Okay.
Not something we're going to be able to read about.
All right.
So who are you inside for the story?
This will be.
Man, it always goes there, doesn't it?
I fucking love Nico. I do.
Always has to.
Dude, it's going to get all 3PO on you. That's all. You know what?
I'm going to ruin Scott's story right now. I'm going to totally blow it because he and I talked about this a little bit beforehand, so I know exactly what he's talking about. He's bought some ranch dressing, guys.
Wow.
I have. It's the new Star Wars.
It's news about news about the ranch.
And I just taped it The Force Awakens on it.
Is it ranch dressing with Adobe flavoring?
Wow. Yes. I may have next week. I may have some Thousand Island news to share.
Some news about the Thousand Island.
Yes. Isn't that the island that Luke is?
I was gonna say, is that where Luke's came
from? The Thousand Island.
Oh yeah. Man.
All right. Let's. Okay. Breaking we'll look news? Forward to that.
Okay.
We'll look forward to that next week.
Italian dressing.
You know what? I'll add one little thing. It will be exclusive to our podcast, and I'll let all you guys in on it.
Wow. Well, I don't want to be let in on it until...
Scott could not be more drunk right now.
Oh, no.
He's pretty sober.
Oh, yes, he could be.
I am driving, damn it.
He is 63% sober right now, I'm going to say. Guys, last story of the show. I'm going to hand it off to Dave.
Yeah.
Dave just finished.
This is the third time you said it's the last story of the show.
Yeah, I know.
Stay on target.
I think Steve's more drunk than I am.
I'm like that drunk guy in the bar that doesn't let you go. You know, like, oh, one more thing.
I've got another story to tell you.
Stay on target.
Dave, under no circumstances should you ever call him Harry Potter, just finished.
Under no circumstances should you ever tell him this is the last story of the show.
Just finished. Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End by Chuck Wendig, and offered to give us a little mini book review. So, Dave, I'm going to hand it off to you. What did you think of Empire's End?
All right. So, I think longtime listeners of the podcast will know I'm not a huge fan of the book series so far. This is the third and final book of his Star Wars Aftermath trilogy. And I will say that this is the best book of the trilogy and that it really feels like it's going somewhere. And that was exciting. I did want to keep reading it, but when we get there, I didn't appreciate the journey at all. It's got much less of the random interludes throughout it, which really killed the first two books for me because he was always jumping around the galaxy telling these little interlude stories that had nothing to do with the main line thread that he was following. But it does a good job of conveying that there's a sense of this whole galaxy collapsing. The Empire's ending. The Republic is on its way in. And it does a good job of that. The thing that had struck me about it, one of the things that struck me about it was that there's a total absence of Luke Skywalker throughout all three of the books. Doesn't appear at all. And if you look at any of these canon books that are coming out in the time frame, there's pretty much no Luke Skywalker appearances, and I'm really curious why they're keeping the decks so damn clear for Episode 8, The Last Jedi. But that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, the basic story of this book is that all the Empire remnants go to Jakku, and the Republic figures out that the Empire is rallied at Jakku, and there's a giant battle that results in the Empire's end. Not a spoiler; it's the title of the book, and we learn a couple of things. The big one is that the Emperor's plan for what happens if he dies is not anything like what happens if the captain goes down with the ship, is how somebody explained it. It's more like, well, if the captain goes down, then let's make sure the ship is scuttled. The Emperor's plan is to draw the Empire into this place, basically kill off most of the Empire because he's died, but the special select few will get these coordinates to go out into the unknown regions outside of the galaxy where Thrawn came from, and they make a big point of saying that in the books. They'll go out there and they'll regroup and rally and presumably go on to become the First Order. So something that I liked, a couple things that I liked that we see that set up for the later books are one of the main characters through this story is a young boy named Temin Wexley, who it turns out is actually Snap Wexley, the Greg Grunberg character from The Force Awakens. So for people who are interested in how does Greg Grunberg wind up in another J.J. Abrams movie, his character's origins are in this book. The First Order character, Hux, he appears as a child in this book alongside his father, Hux Sr. And you get some insight into what the Hux character is, what his role is in training some of the first, you know, these First Order stormtroopers, and how that really works, how they're really kind of trained from childbirth up to be soldiers. We also get to see the planet Christophus, I think that's how you pronounce it, from the Clone Wars, which is a kyber crystal source. We take a little detour there to see some kyber crystals getting returned. And this was the big thing for me. This ties it all together. And Scott, this is just for you. Because Empire's End has an appearance from Lumpy from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
No, he doesn't. You got to be kidding.
No, there is a bit where Chewbacca liberates his son from an Imperial slave camp on Kashyyyk. And all I have to say is, as ridiculous as that is, how awful a day must the Imperials at that camp that are holding Chewbacca's son hostage, how awful a day are they going to have when Chewbacca shows up? Because it's not just appendages that are going to be getting ripped off of the guys. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to be a pretty Kashyyyk day for them.
It's going to be a very painful day with a quick ending. That's my prediction.
Lumpy is now canon.
Lumpy is canon. Scott, correct me awesome. If I'm wrong, but hasn't Chewbacca's son been in some of the other older, now jettisoned expanded universe stuff?
That might be correct. The original three Han Solo adventure books, was he in one of those?
I feel like he was, but I can't recall it, and I didn't have time to do a lot of research on it.
I may have been blackout drunk at that point. But, no, I
much like this point.
Was there an evening involved at that point? It because then been, you probably yeah. were. Yeah.
Let's see. What do I do tonight? Alcohol, Star Wars books. Let's do them both.
So my basic review of this is they're interesting books. I don't know that they're great books because they're interesting in the sense of they get you from this endpoint of the last battle of Endor to where the Empire actually surrenders, where it's been decimated, it collapses on itself, and it formally surrenders to the New Republic. And how does all that happen? I thought there were some legitimate good characters in it, but I didn't like the overall story arcs that those characters were going through. My favorite character, honestly, was a robot named Mr. Bones that the kid Temin Wexley built out of an old battle droid, but he built it into an assassin droid. And it was remarkably effective because people would just look at it and go, oh my God, a battle droid. That's the most useless thing ever. I can't believe it's still working. And then he just slices your head off. And he talks about how
awesome.
Talks about how he turns people into, you know, a pleasing blood mist. And there will be scenes where he's just slaughtered, you know, 20 people, and they walk in and he's just, the droid is just sitting there and there's 20 corpses around and he says, I have just executed violence. And then waits for waits for people to start talking to him.
So is this one a thumbs up, or is this one, because they, you know, your previous reviews have been thumbs down. So
this one's the best book of the group, but overall for the series, it's thumbs very sideways. Like I said, it's an interesting book if you want to know things about Star Wars and the Star Wars galaxy and where these characters exactly are right after Return of the Jedi. You'll want to read the books.
And they even spend like a couple pages on Jar Jar, don't they? Did we skip over that?
We talked about that a little bit last week, and that was pretty much all there was. There's a couple pages of Jar Jar, so we see what Jar Jar is doing, because that was the fucking question everybody wanted answered after Return of the Jedi, is whatever happened to Jar Jar.
He's so sexy.
Yes. One other little bit that's in there that's interesting is there are Force cults in the universe. There are light side Force cults and dark side Force cults, and we get to see one of the dark side Force cults kind of in action in one of the interludes.
Well, wouldn't the Guardians of the Wills, wouldn't those technically be a Force cult?
I would infer that from the books, yes, but they're not just the Guardian of the Wills as a light side cult running around. There are other ones, and there are, of course, dark side Sith cults running around as well.
And we did get announced a book for Baze and Sharon Emway, though, right? Didn't we get a book announced for both of those two?
A book announced for what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
For the Donnie Yen and
oh yes,
Jiang Wen.
Yes, we did.
Baze and Sharon, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have their own book coming out. I'm excited about that. I would read that one. I'm not going to go out and buy this book, though. I didn't read the other Wendig books. They didn't sound great. This one doesn't sound great to me. The only one that I've really liked so far was Catalyst. That's the only one that I'm really like glad I read was Catalyst.
Catalyst is by far the best of the new Star Wars novels that I've read.
Yeah, Catalyst was really good. I liked that book a lot.
I am looking forward to the Thrawn book that's coming out. I'm looking forward to the book you're talking about, mostly because if I remember right, it's written by Greg Rucka, who is a fantastic writer, and I really enjoy his stuff. And Greg actually wrote a very good, very short kind of young adult Han Solo novel that's set right after the events of A New Hope.
Excellent.
Well, that's like middle-aged Han Solo, right?
Yeah, but it's just Han Solo, reckless smuggler, shooting first, asking questions later. We are not yet at Pussy Whipped Han Solo.
Look, millennial, 30s is not middle-aged. He's still young at that point.
Sorry, I'm only 20. This week.
But if you want Pussy Whipped Han Solo, he is in Empire's End. He is full on in Empire's End. Although we do get to see Leia give... We don't see it. It happens off camera. But Leia gives birth to Ben Solo. And I was just reading around that. I was just thinking to myself how, you know, Han Solo is very, you know, overprotective, and he's not very patient. And we all know he's a very understanding person. And it occurred to me that we learned in Revenge of the Sith that it's the doctors are droids that oversee the childbirth. So how awesome must that have been for Han Solo as the father to be dealing with a droid when he's not able to help Leia through the process?
So for sure, Ben was born as an only child. There was no twin involved. There was no secret second child.
No, and they make a big point in the book of not even talking directly about the event. They just more talk about, here are all the stories and rumors that happen around it. You know, maybe Luke Skywalker was there. Maybe Luke Skywalker wasn't. One rumor has him being born with a full set of teeth, which is apparently a bad omen that is a literary trope.
So there was no mention of a Rey Solo?
No.
Good.
How about a clone baby? Is there a clone baby? They found a hand floating in space and made a clone out of it?
There are no clone babies, but one thing that they introduced that we may see in The Last Jedi, one of the plot points is on Jakku, the Emperor had set up a doomsday station called the Observatory, and it was not the only observatory that he set up, which was basically a repository house for him to keep artifacts and things of special interest to him and him alone. And that observatory gets destroyed in the course of the battle and all of the artifacts that are going to get destroyed, but there are other such installations throughout the galaxy.
Excellent.
Like I said, it's a book for information, not a book for entertainment.
Most interesting.
The reference guide for what happened between movies.
Yeah, no, but it literally is like, oh, we have all these things that we want that we need to introduce or make reference to. And I could almost feel him as a writer, like he's checking off boxes that he's told he needs to check off and find a way to incorporate into a plot.
Check off.
Wrong universe.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dave, just FYI, Lumpa Waru does appear in multiple publications, and one of them is the Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin. Sorry.
That's why Scott is on these podcasts, because he knows, and then he goes and finds out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had the feeling about the Han Solo trilogy. I remembered reading something about it. I just tried to desperately forget it. But then when I just looked it up, I'm like, oh my God, it's not just that. It's multiple comic books. It's a whole bunch of the new Jedi Order stuff. Unbelievable. Can't believe.
So you're saying that Chewbacca has a last name and it's Waru?
No, Lumpa Waru is the whole name of Lumpy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And disappointing. Because Chewbacca naming his kid Lumpy would be just ridiculous.
Of course. So,
everybody knows Chewbacca's last name is Lent.
So who do you think's had more appearances, Scott?
What's that?
Lumpy? Who do you think's had more appearances, Lumpy or Jackson?
I would actually say Lumpy. Lumpy ends up at one point, if you remember the old Expanded Universe, Chewbacca does get killed at one point. And Lumpy, along with his cousin, I don't remember the name, decides to honor the life debt that Chewbacca had with Han Solo, and he becomes Han Solo's co-pilot. Why do I know this? Oh, God. Thank you, alcohol.
You were born to be on this show, Scott.
You were. Yes, he was.
I'm so sorry. Fans.
I'm sorry.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for that review. Sounds like maybe I won't be reading it, but I feel like I've read it having listened to your review.
That very sterile,
hospital bleached,
very
clean,
to the point review of I guess the review wasn't sterile and to the point, but a review of a very sterile and to the point book.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, if it was to the point, it would have been at least 100 pages shorter.
Can't call it sterile. There was a childbirth.
Oh.
Wow. Well, here's something that is never quite sterile. It's the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Greg, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, what I got here is Luke proving he's an outdoorsman. He spends a lot of time outdoors on the old island there, VLL does. And so he comes along this week from March the 7th, a little over a week ago. It says, the biggest perk of being a Jedi? The snacks. All I have to do is stab a marshmallow with my lightsaber. Boom. Instant s'more.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, so special announcement time. It's the end of the show. Special announcement time. The Wretched Five, all of us together, will be making a special appearance at the one and only, the infamous Scum and Villainy Cantina for the evening of May the 27th.
May 27th.
Saturday night, May the 27th, 6 p.m., the Wretched Five, along with the Wretched Wives, will all be in attendance.
That's almost a Wretched Ten.
It is. You're absolutely correct.
Let me give you some theme music for that. Here we go. There you go. All right, tell us all about where are we going, Greg?
So, we don't know where we're going, Steve, because the Scum and Villainy Cantina has not yet announced where this location will be happening at. Tickets are available at scumandvillainy.com. I think you have to sign up and go through their process and see what their reservation system looks like. Tickets have sold fairly well, so it might be a tough get. But if you haven't made your reservation yet and you already have tickets, try and make a reservation for Saturday night, May the 27th, and come meet us at 6 p.m.
So you're saying we're going to sneak in microphones on May 27th at 6 p.m., and we will probably be illegally recording a podcast episode at this event.
iPhones are a thing, Steve. iPhones do exist, and we can record anything we want to with iPhones.
Also Androids, because apparently Scott's iPhone doesn't work, so...
Snap.
You gotta update the firmware on that Motorola Razr you got there, buddy.
We gotta find the droids that Scott's been looking for the last, like, year and a half.
All right, May 27th it is. I'm psyched. Scum and Villainy Cantina, be there.
Somewhere deep in the heart of Los Angeles. Did we make it?
This was a memorable show. This one, I don't know, we resurrected from the dead like three times. Somehow made it through all the show notes to the end, and which I threw across the room, and I need now.
Give me one second. Oh shoot!
I should have
grabbed. All right, no problem.
If you want to reach out to the Wretched Hive? You can reach us at
562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE, HIVE. You can email us wretchedhive@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Wretched Hive Podcast. You can tweet at us, Twitter, at Wretch Hive Pod. And maybe the easiest way to find us is through iTunes. You can search and subscribe to the Wretched Hive Podcast. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to hear from you, the fans of the Wretched Hive Podcast. And guys, episode 32 is officially in the books. It is so weird to sit next to Scott and do the show close like this. It's a weird thing. I'm so glad you came over.
Thanks, man.
That was a lot of fun.
He's there masturbating by this time or other rolls around.
Man, don't see 3-0 people. My God. This oil doth is gonna feel so good.
Don't N3P me.
My goodness. Any last final thoughts from my co-host for the show tonight?
Dave, go.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. If you're still sober listening to this podcast, you're doing it wrong.
Wrong.
St. Patrick's
Day.
Scott, jump in on this.
Me? All right. I've been drinking all week, so hell yeah, I'm doing great.
Drive safe out there. If you are consuming adult beverages on the St. Patrick's Day, be safe, be responsible. Drink in the comfort of your own home.
Or Uber.
Or on your own podcast.
I was.
Guys, have a great, wonderful couple of weeks, and may the force be with us all.